The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm fired up. A nice little three-day weekend. It's the start of a new short week. It's the dawn of a new short era. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Last week, the big story, of course, was the charging, murder charges against two Tacoma police officers, manslaughter against a third. The Tacoma Police Union called it a politically motivated witch hunt, which indeed it is. Never before have peace officers in our state been charged with murder for something that happened on the job. It's extraordinarily rare nationally for this to happen. But as soon as it went into the hands of Bob Ferguson, especially Bob Ferguson, at Jay Inslee's behest. But Bob Ferguson wants to be governor. He dreams of it. He drools for it. He can't let anything come between him and being the governor of the state in 3.5 years. And so Bob Ferguson will gladly destroy lives of what, by all accounts, are three good family men. He would gladly have them sit in a bar, behind bars, I should say, not in a bar. That's Dow Constantine there. Now, Bob Ferguson would gladly have them sit behind bars for the rest of their lives. And, as I said on Friday, what happened to Manny Ellis is an absolute tragedy. But it was also, you look at the escalation of force that police use when somebody doesn't comply with police requests. When you see the video from 3 months earlier of him jumping up and charging right at police officers who had to tase him, that would be consistent with what the officers said, escalated things from Manny Ellis's perspective in May or March of last year. When you look at all of those things, he was very high on meth. He may have had, according to the medical examiner, may have had a lethal dose of meth in his system the night that he encountered the police. But Bob Ferguson wants to be governor. And to do that, he believes you have to cater to the far left extremists in our state. And so this was preordained, this outcome. They made sure that they found sets of circumstances that would fit the narrative they wanted to push out. Well, as we told you on Friday, those three police officers, a judge set bail on them at $100,000 each, and one Tacoma businessman bailed out those three cops. Turns out he casually knows them just because he operates a business and the officers swing by once in a while, but he's not friends with any of those three officers. He is just, I believe, we'll find out, but I believe he was just disgusted at these, the notion of these three cops sitting behind bars, away from their children, away from their wives, on Memorial Day weekend. So one Tacoma businessman bailed those three officers out. I will talk with that Tacoma businessman exclusively coming up at the bottom of the hour, 12:30 this afternoon, and we'll find out why he did it. And he's paying a price for it as well, because I can also tell you that right after he bailed out the cops, Antifa, which according to Joe Biden is just an idea, it's not real, it's just a very ephemeral thing. Antifa sent out a flyer with a picture of the Tacoma businessman. And I'm going to read you this flyer. Now understand, this Tacoma businessman did absolutely nothing wrong. A judge set bail, he bailed him out. That's part of the legal process. But in the tyranny that rules the streets these days, the tyranny that has dominated our region from these domestic terrorists from all kinds of different angles, they put out a picture of this businessman with the headline, Community Warning, A Fascist in Tacoma. And then they give his name. Then they give his company that he owns. And then I'll read to you what it says. Local business owner pays $100,000 in bail to release all three Tacoma PD officers charged for murdering Manny Ellis. This is an Antifa News Network special report. This week, the family of Manny Ellis had some solace to see Washington's attorney general charge three officers involved in his murder in 2020. This morning, the 28th of May, then they give the name of the man. I'm just going to give his first name. I don't want to bring any more grief upon him. His name's Josh. This morning, the 28th of May, Josh showed up at the Pierce County Court in Tacoma in order to pay bail for all three murderous cops. He spent $100,000 per officer, meaning that this business owner spent $300,000 to release all three murderers back onto the street. Okay, whoever wrote this, they don't know how this court system works, apparently. My guess is he paid a 10% bond, so it was $10,000 each, $30,000 total, not $300,000. But I don't expect that these Antifa journalists have a very good grasp on too many things. Josh is the owner of, and then they give the name of his business, and has operated for years. He has an office at, and then they give the address of his office, and then they give the phone number for Josh's business, and then the final paragraph, but if you want to call Josh directly to tell him how horrible what he did, what he just did was, and how his spending $300K on murderous cops is evil, his personal cell is, and then they give Josh's personal cell number. Now, they don't specifically call for action. I talked with attorneys this morning about whether this would be considered felony harassment to tell a group that has proven to be very, very violent, not just over the last 14 months. Antifa's proven to be very violent in Seattle for over 20 years now, going back to May Day 2001. I think it was 2001, 99, 2000. It was a long time ago, whenever it was. But yeah, Antifa's proven to be very violent for over 20 years now. And they are putting out a guy's business address, business phone, personal phone, because they don't like that he did something entirely legal. He bailed out people, part of the judicial system. But we're looking at absolute tyranny in this case in particular, where they want to start the intimidation. If the defense can't get a change of venue out of Pierce County, you have groups that want to make sure that jurors will be intimidated, and if they dare find the officers not guilty, they'll make their lives a living hell. You have Pierce County Sheriff was just about to release an investigation that sources tell me would have exonerated the cops, but then they turns out there was one Pierce County cop on the scene among the 20 responding officers, so they were disqualified. It went to the State Patrol, and the State Patrol investigation appeared to be going in favor of the cops, and as I understand it, that's when Bob Ferguson hired two outside attorneys, who aren't even part of the AG office's staff, to craft the flowery, dime store novel-like charging papers that they released last week. So, stick around. You'll hear from this Tacoma business owner why he chose to bail out three men that he does not personally know. And you'll get another perspective on this story. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, this is another example of where tyranny comes from. It's not just Antifa. There is tyranny coming from judicial benches in our region. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. A 67-year-old guy, he lives in low-income housing near Pioneer Square. There's a hotel that's been converted to low-income housing. And the 67-year-old guy, he has a little dog, and he takes his dog for walks. And he was doing that just a couple of days ago. He was taking his dog for a walk when all of a sudden a homeless guy in Pioneer Square came up to the man and demanded that he would give up his jacket or the 29-year-old guy will take it. Now, the 67-year-old dog walker, he had some pepper spray because he knows what the streets are like around there. And when it became obvious that the 29-year-old was going to violently try to take his jacket away, the 67-year-old guy pepper sprayed the younger man in the face. So the man backed away for an instant. But then, according to witnesses, according to the police report, as the victim was walking away with his dog, the 29-year-old guy came running up from behind, shoved the 67-year-old guy to the ground, and kicked his Jack Russell Terrier as hard as he could, like a place kicker kicking a football off the tee. The dog flew through the air, landed on its head, died instantly on the streets down in Pioneer Square. Now, we have really tough animal cruelty laws in our state. It all goes back to that the donkey, Passato, decades ago that was tortured and killed. We have crafted really strong and really good animal cruelty laws. And so finally we have a crime that can get these drug-addicted criminals off the streets in Pioneer Square, right? Wrong. This is Seattle. And so when the suspect fled the scene, officers identified him because the description matched somebody that the cops have had lots of interactions with. The guy has a long police record of encounters. And so night before last, Seattle police arrested the guy who kicked and killed the dog. They booked him. Suspicion of first-degree animal cruelty and attempted second-degree robbery. He was booked into the King County Jail, and prosecutors at an initial court appearance asked for him to be held on $25,000 bail. But that didn't happen. The guy who killed the dog so brutally, so cold-heartedly, is back on the streets right now, down in Pioneer Square. And why? Why is he? Because of one judge. The prosecutors were so disturbed by this crime, and I will give credit. I'm often critical of the King County Prosecutor's Office, but I will also always give credit when they deserve it. The prosecutor in this case recognized the severity of the crime. Everybody knows that if somebody is capable of killing an innocent animal, then killing a human being isn't that far apart. Almost all serial killers have a history of killing and torturing animals in their past. But this landed on the court, or in the courtroom of Judge Marcus Naylor. Judge Marcus Naylor, he decided, I'm not surprised he went to the Seattle University Law School, because Seattle University has gone full woke and has for many, many years now. And then he became a public defender. And of course, public defenders are always trying to get criminals off and out. That's what public defenders do. And it says that as a public defender, Judge Naylor participated in more than 100 misdemeanor and felony jury trials ranging from DUI to homicide. As a good defense lawyer, I'm sure he tried to get every one of those people off. Many of his trials were complex and on the cutting edge of forensic sciences. There's nothing complex about the dog being killed, Your Honor. There are witnesses. Guy kicked a dog so hard, and it takes a lot of force to lift a Jack Russell Terrier up into the air to fly far enough to die on impact. It just goes on and on. He was the lead attorney for a public defender organization in King County. He was the supervising attorney for the King County Department of Public Defense. And so this judge just lets a guy who kills a dog in a state that has really tough animal cruelty laws, He lets the guy go back out onto the streets, and he's free today. That's what the streets of Seattle are like. But in large part, it is because of judges like Marcus Naylor, who ignore prosecution's bail requests, put a dog killer back out on the street, and God forbid that 29-year-old man kills another animal, kills a human being. Will Judge Naylor feel any guilt? I doubt it. I continue to compile a list of horrible judges in our region. Judge Naylor will be added to that list come election time. I'll have a handy little guide for you to let you know who's keeping our streets filled with criminals. And Judge Marcus Naylor is today's top of that list. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you here, and then Dory Monson Show exclusive. We will talk to the businessman in Tacoma who bailed out the three Tacoma cops accused of killing down in Tacoma on the streets, Manny Ellis. We'll do that. Have that conversation next here on the Dory Monson Show. Story throughout our region last week was three Tacoma police officers charged in the death of Manny Ellis down in Tacoma. An unprecedented charge here in Washington State. Cops being charged with second-degree murder for something that happened while on the job. In fact, nationwide, this is a very unusual charge. Christopher Burbank and Matthew Collins are both facing second-degree murder charges. The third, Timothy Rankin, he's charged with first-degree manslaughter. Bail was set at $100,000, and late last week, a local Tacoma businessman bailed all three of those men out of prison. His name is Josh. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Josh, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
You bet.
Did you know these officers personally?
I've had interactions with them. I don't know them on a personal level, but these three individuals I've ran into in the community. I have a construction business. We constantly are, having theft issues. And so, and I've seen them around our community, couple of them that aren't charged. I know from also patrolling our area and have proactively worked our neighborhood to clean it up and clean up crime down there. And they've done a great job. And I do know them from through people that I just have great things to say about them personally. And but no, just on a professional level.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a pretty big leap to have, at best, a casual relationship to being the guy who bailed all three out of prison. Why did you do that?
You know, this thing's been going on for, the better part of, I think, 14 months now. I'm a concerned citizen, for one, a concerned business owner as well. I've grown up here in Pierce County, Tacoma, all my life. This agenda that's, it's been fueled by the media, to this small group of people that want to abolish the police department and defund the police department, I don't think have any idea what the ramifications of that would look like. These individuals, I've watched the videos, I've seen documentation, I've read the documentation. I know starting from just the beginning, our officers down here in Pierce County and Tacoma are great guys. They're great men and women who go out to work and protect the public. They don't wake up in the morning and, try and figure out who they get to kill today. That's just not the mindset, at least not down here. And these guys were doing their job. This guy has a history of doing this. 3 months prior, he had robbed a store and was running half naked up the street and charged at officers. That video's out there too, but nobody wants to, talk about that. They just, want to talk about police and shed the worst light on them as possible. And I don't know how you can look at the evidence in 14 months of investigation and all of a sudden our AG's office comes up with these kind of charges against these guys who were just doing their job. it's just crazy to me, and that's not just me. It's a lot of people I talk to.
Well, I'll tell you what, Josh. I said the day Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson got involved with this case, I said, and this was a few months ago, I said, I guarantee that they are going to come back with the most tough charge imaginable against these guys, because at that point, it really was about politics and not about, I mean, that's what the Tacoma Police Union has said, that this is a politically motivated witch hunt. Sounds like you agree with that.
Yeah, I do. I really do. I don't see where, I mean, I don't have all the facts in front of me from their investigation, and I'm no attorney or prosecuting attorney, but looking at all the facts that are laying out there, and I don't see how they could, you know, put these guys under that kind of scrutiny and charges for doing their job. And I've seen, you know, the initial incident that happened there is not being spelled out to the public either. You know, these officers didn't just see him and grab him and beat him. That's not what happened. And, you know, that's what our court's for, and the truth will come out, and we have great judges down here and a great justice system. And I think the truth will come out, and these guys will be acquitted of these charges. But it's just horrible that they have to go through it for their families.
Let's talk about one other thing you're dealing with. On Friday night, after you bailed them out, a bulletin went out. I have it in my hand right now, from Antifa News. Community warning, a fascist in Tacoma. Josh, owner of, and then they named your construction company. And they say that you bailed out these three officers. They say that because of that, apparently they want horrible things to happen to you. They give the address of your business. They give the business phone number. They've given out your personal cell phone number. What has that been like to participate in the legal system? And regardless of what anybody thinks about these officers, they are due the process of the law. Bail is part of that process. You participated in it, and now people want to come after you personally.
Yeah, it was an act that was supposed to be done quietly. I didn't want this to come out just for I did it to be anonymous and just to make sure these guys were out, especially for Memorial Day weekend. You know, they're highly decorated military officers. And like you said, it's just been a witch hunt, and these guys deserve better than that. To be honest with you, I've had 99% of the feedback I have is positive. I can't even keep up with the messages people have sent me that, and I've had police officers from across the country call me or reach out to me and thank me for standing up, you know, and that's what needs to happen. Not just me, it's the public as a whole. I think if you really took a decent survey, that, you know, 85-90% of the public is pro police, and, this agenda to abolish police is just, it's nonsense. I'm not worried about them, and anybody that knows me knows who I am and my integrity, and other people that don't can say what they want, and it's not going to affect me one way or the other.
I talked to a legal expert about this, though, Josh, and I was told that what they did is likely felony harassment against you, but they're such anonymous cowards. I don't know how you would trace that back to one person. I mean, that would be the big challenge. But it doesn't even sound like you care enough about what they've done to want to pursue that. It doesn't sound like you're afraid of them at all.
No, and I'm tired of the media giving them a platform. I don't even want to talk about them. If people really wanted it, and the effort they took to make that flyer, if they would have done that and done something positive and gone out in the community and did something that created a healing process rather than more diversity, you know, that I don't know what they're aiming to accomplish at the end of the day, but I'm not worried about them, and I wish the media would quit sensationalizing this whole past year and everything that's been going on. It's just creating a bad environment for our community.
The thing that made the biggest impact on me as you and I were texting back and forth this weekend, Josh, is you said if we don't stand up for cops, then all the good ones are going to just throw their badge in a drawer and say it's not worth it. And then what happens to our society, Josh, when the cops start making that decision?
Yeah, we're going to have bigger problems way bigger problems. I mean, you're going to have people policing people, and that's not good. And when you say, you know, all the good ones, I believe, you know, I don't think there's any officer that goes and signs up and goes through the rigorous testing and psychological evaluations and tries to get on a department because they want to hurt people or write tickets. And, you know, I said this a long time ago, being on the board for Crime Stoppers, police don't get up in the morning and want to hand people out tickets and figure out who they want to murder today. That's just not, that's just not why they do the job. And, it's sad that people think that. I feel bad if they've had a horrible experience, but like I've told people in the past, and like I've grown up with my own family, my grandpa, you know, telling me when I was young, give an officer the benefit of the doubt. You know, these guys come from a domestic violence situation or a fatality car collision where a child's, you know, maimed or dead, and then they got to get back in their patrol car and go out and keep doing their job. They don't have time to digest what they've just dealt with, and then they're catch you speeding, and you know the cop's a jerk, but you don't understand, you know, what happened an hour prior. And
no, I got you. And look, you know, just in closing, we have a few seconds left. All three of these guys that you bailed out, Army veterans, one got the Medal of Honor, another got a Purple Heart, third was a Ranger. The two charged with murder, one of them has two little kids. They're both married. One of them has two little kids, 10 and 6 years old. The other one has four little kids. And it makes me sick, Josh, when I think about Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson using these families for their political grandstanding and further aspirations. And I am convinced it is nothing but that.
Yeah, we need to get our politics out of the legal system. They have nothing to do, nothing involved with this. Washington State Patrol did an investigation. Apparently that wasn't enough for them. So hey, that's what makes me raise my eyebrow and what the real intent is here. But like I said, we have good judges here and good people that will, the truth will come out, and hopefully at the end of the day, they'll be acquitted and back with their families. But the scar that's left for them, I'm sure, is not going to heal quickly.
Yeah. All right. Josh is the man who bailed out the three Tacoma police officers on Friday. Josh, I appreciate you speaking with me today, and let's stay in touch, okay?
Sounds good. Yeah, you have a good one, Dory.
All right. Josh, Tacoma businessman who bailed out the three officers, two charged with murder, one charged with manslaughter. Your thoughts, 98973 is the text line, and we have lots more to come. You're on the Dory Monson Show. All the comments, lots of them coming in on our exclusive interview with the man who bailed out the three Tacoma police officers. And there are some who are not happy about it, but the majority of the messages that I'm getting are saying, thank you, Josh. And thanks to people who are willing to stand up against what is a coordinated narrative. Politicians, many in the media, certainly the people out on the streets, they have a coordinated message, and it's hard to stand up against it. But we will never cave in to the mob, to the groupthink that is being mandated of people. And so, yeah, we'll try to always present sides of these stories that you may not hear anyplace else. Speaking of terror taking over our streets, remember a few weeks ago, there's a couple of chocolate shops in Seattle named Chocolati. And a few weeks ago, two Seattle cops went into a location in Wallingford. And one of the officers wanted to just buy some chocolates. There was one person ahead of him in line. They finished dealing with that customer. And then the clerk ignored the cop. And the cop said, yeah, I'd like to buy some chocolates. And, you know, we're paraphrasing because we haven't heard it verbatim. But the clerk clearly articulated to the officer, I'm not comfortable with you being in here and I will not serve you, because he was a cop. And at the time, the owner of Chocolati, I thought he, you know, I said this on the show, I thought he handled the whole situation horribly. because he should have just dealt with it, spoken to us, let us know how, you know, if first of all, if that's tolerated in his businesses. But he didn't, and the woman who's working there, she stayed on for a couple of days, and the story just persisted. And then other people in the media started picking up on it. It just kept going and going. The way you deal with something like that is you get out in front of it and you clearly communicate if that is your shop's policy or if it's against policy. And what you're going to do with that worker. Is she going to stay on? Is she going to be let go? And then about 4 days later, he let that employee go. And that becomes another news story. But I will say, I do feel bad for this guy who owns these shops. Because talk about a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. If he had kept that woman on, all the people who love and defend our cops would have boycotted the place. And then when he fired that woman, all of a sudden Antifa is furious. And so they've, a couple weeks ago, they spray painted the windows of his shop because they are on the side of a minimum wage clerk in a chocolate store refusing to serve one of the customers because of what the customer does for a living. And then again, over the weekend, I saw that people tagged the sidewalk right outside of the chocolate shop and had arrows pointing away and spray painted the words or the letters ACAB and were, you know, hoping the arrows would push potential customers away. And man, what, for the guy who owns that biz, what a horrible hire. Because I can't even begin to imagine the untold grief and economic harm and psychic harm that this young woman did to her employer, who was nice enough to give her a job. And, you know, employers are looking for good workers. If you want a job right now, you can get a job. Hey, Antifa, instead of demanding socialism, Marxism, you could get a job and make sure you're taken care of because you can take care of yourself then. I know. Radical idea. I also wanted to share with you, you know, that the one of the women who started Black Lives Matter, she resigned last week after it was revealed that despite her Marxist training, and that's why Marxism is a fundamental element of BLM, that she became rich. She owned four homes all around the country, had made millions of dollars in real estate purchases, all by running Black Lives Matter. Now, another former leader of BLM, a black man named Rashad Turner, he is speaking out as to why he has left the organization. Rashad Turner.
I am living proof that no matter your start in life, quality education is a pathway to success. I want the same success for our children in our communities. That's why in 2015, I was a founder of Black Lives Matter in St. Paul. I believe the organization stood for exactly what the name implies. Black lives do matter. However, after a year on the inside, I learned they had little concern for rebuilding black families, and they cared even less about improving the quality of education for students in Minneapolis. That was made clear when they publicly denounced charter schools alongside the teachers union. I was an insider in Black Lives Matter, and I learned the ugly truth. The moratorium on charter schools does not support rebuilding the black family, but it does create barriers to a better education for black children. I resigned from Black Lives Matter after a year and a half, but I didn't quit working to improve black lives and access to a great education.
That's the key. Work to improve black lives, but not with Black Lives Matter. But Fast 15 is coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.